evening and happy Independence Day. Welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, July 9th, 2015. President Kiir addresses the nation on the fourth anniversary of South Sudan's independence.
All of you who are in the UN camps, whether in Juba, in Wau, in Malakal, in Bantu, or in any other place, I beg you once again to come out from the camps and join us in the quest for peace and stability.
And rebel leader Riek Machar says he has nothing personal against President Kiir. All he wants is peace.
Nothing at all. I met him in Kenya at the State House. We sat together, discussed. I will recall three times the light went out and we would sit conversing in the dark and we were only two. So there's no personal animosity.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. For many, today is not a day of celebration on this fourth anniversary independence for South Sudan, where fighting continues. But as we hear from Mungume Debs Rakarinj in Juba, who attended the government's official celebration, the mood is jubilant.
Thousands of South Sudanese gathered at the John Garang Mausoleum in sweltering heat, with temperatures above 30 degrees Celsius. Dozens of traditional folk dance troupes entertained the crowd as they waited for the arrival of dignitaries who would present speeches. Many in the crowd waved South Sudanese flags, both large and small, while SPLA planes flew overhead. The sound of music and drums filled the air, along with ululation. And for the first time since independence celebrations began 4 years ago, President Kiir rode around the mausoleum in an open-roofed vehicle, smiling and receiving applause from the thousands who waited for hours to catch a glimpse of the country's leader. Moments later, the South Sudan Police Band led a military parade, marching in lockstep. After the pomp and ceremony subsided, as Charlton Doki reports, President Salva Kiir addressed the crowd.
Today is the opportunity for a change, a new beginning of forgiveness and embracing one another in order to move our country forward.
President Kiir called on all South Sudanese to leave the past 19 months of violence behind them and work together to restore peace in the nation.
As the theme of this fourth anniversary of independence is Together for a United and Peaceful South Sudan. If this is the theme, there is no room for revenge. People have to think for how to forgive one another. I urge you to join hands with me to stop this senseless war and work together for peace, reconciliation, and reconstruction of our country.
The president said he has worked tirelessly to end the fighting and the suffering of the people, and he vowed to continue to do so.
As your president, I do hear your cries for peace and stability. I know you want to support your families, move freely in your country without fear, and go back to business as usual. As you know, I haven't rested, and I think I will not rest until peace is achieved in South Sudan.
But Mr. Kiir had a message for international mediators who have been trying for 18 months to restore peace in South Sudan. He said that while his government is committed to end the conflict in South Sudan through talks mediated by regional bloc IGAD, the end result of the talks must be
peace that is not imposed on us by others in order to divide us. The peace we want is a just peace that must be won by South Sudanese themselves.
The president called on South Sudanese communities that have been torn apart by violence to reconcile through dialogue. And Mr. Kiir appealed to the armed opposition led by former Vice President Riek Machar to lay down arms and work alongside his government for peace.
My government is committed to bring peace back home. Peace that will be in the best interest of every South Sudanese. Peace that will not leave out others or marginalize certain areas or regions of our beloved country. Peace that is not imposed on us by others in order to divide us. The peace we want is a just peace. That must be won by South Sudanese themselves.
President Kiir also had a message for the tens of thousands of South Sudanese who are sheltering in UN camps across the country.
All of you who are in the UN camps, whether in Juba, in Wau, in Malakal, in Bantu, or in any other place, I beg you once again to come out from the camps and join us in the quest for peace and stability. This country belongs to all of us, and it is our moral obligation to care and do more for it.
Sitting behind Mr. Kiir during the ceremony were seven men who were arrested at the beginning of the conflict in December 2013 and accused of being part of a plot to oust Mr. Kiir. Many of the former detainees have returned to Juba and resumed their roles in the ruling SPLM. The seven former detainees at the Independence Day celebrations waved to the crowd as Mr. Kiir introduced them one by one.
You are most welcome back, my brothers. As I said yesterday in the parliament, the chapter where you were arrested and detained, where you got the name detainees, has been closed. We have closed that chapter. Let us start a new page and let us go forward.
I spoke with political analyst Jacob Chol about Mr. Kiir's speech. Chol, who is the head of the political science department at Juba University, says Mr. Kiir tried to address the main issues of concern to South Sudanese, but he was short on specifics.
He tried to capture everything, but it was not really very comprehensive because the president talked about three goals within the strategies. And one goal was the immediate goal, where he talked about bringing peace to the people. And we're not clear how do we bring peace to the people of South Sudan. The second goal was the intermediate goal, issues to do with the reform within the party. But again, the reform was supposed to cover the whole government, actually. It's not about the party alone. And then the long-term goal were idea to do with reconciliation and healing. So this goal were not really complete. They were basically mentioned, but not really very practical enough. So the speech were not practical enough. Were just the normal speech that we used to hear from president. And there was nothing new about it.
The president also talked about the economic hardships, like the high cost of living and the depreciation of the South Sudanese pound. How important was it for him to talk about this?
It was really very important because that was the most important thing the citizen want to hear from the head of state. Because the citizens right now are really in trouble. You know, the inflation has increased almost up to 1,000%. The goods are not available. The people don't have money in their hand. But the president mentioned it in a passing. But he didn't bring out the strategies of how best the economic crisis could be addressed in the country. You can imagine when he said that, he's directing the Ministry of Finance and Central Bank to be able to look into that. But I thought there was a national crisis committee that he formed. That was supposed actually to give him all the results so that he talk about whatever he got from the committee and tell the citizen today, because the committee has been there for almost 2 months now. So there was nothing really practical in the speech. The economic crisis is still going on. There's no direction about how best could a citizen really live very well within this hardship in the country. And therefore, it is really not practical in my view. So there's nothing much mentioned on that until he just actually have to talk about other things that are more useful than telling the same story that we know every single day.
The president also mentioned the presence of the SPLM leaders who are normally referred to as former detainees. How important was it?
Yeah, it was really important because that showed the spirit of the implementation of the Arusha Agreement. And the coming of Pagana Mom Okech and his other six colleagues indicated that they were ready, indicated that this is a process of implementing the deal that was signed in Arusha for the SPLM. However, it was not also connected very well toward how best do you get the overall peace for the South Sudanese. The issue to do with the IGAD peace processes were not mentioned very well. The idea to do with the power-sharing deal was not mentioned very well. What he did mention at the president was that I will bring peace that you will accept, and I will accept. And I will bring peace that everybody will accept. But what is this peace that we will accept as South Sudanese people? And therefore, it was not really connected toward bringing peace in South Sudan. But the coming of the former detainees, is really, really very important, that they should come to the spirit of implementing the Arusha Agreement of the SPLM.
He also talked about continuing with the peace process. Does this show that the president was more conciliatory today than in the past?
Today in the speech, he was very, very conciliatory. I was imagining whether he will hit back Dr. Riek, the way he's been hitting back on him and a lot of his speech again. But it seemed today he realized the hardship, he realized the length of the war, because it's now almost 2 years and the citizens are still waiting. And therefore today he was more reconciliatory. And you will imagine when he was calling the detainees, I was seeing him calling them and he was pointing them there. This is it. This is important that you have come home. And we need to, they really now come home together. And I think he's really reconciliatory and he's saying, this is the time now we need to sit down and bring peace to South Sudan. But what was missing in is the how. Because right now, the Tuareg and his group seem to be ready for war, and President Kiir now is talking about peace. But how to do that peace, to convince Kiir to come home, is what is remaining to be desired from all the citizens in the Republic of South Sudan.
Looking at all that wide-ranging speech, what did the president leave out?
What the president left out, which was not captured, was exactly on how you will manage the nation in the next 3 years. You were supposed basically to bring out what he has done for the country for the last few years and what you need to do for the country in the next 3 years. Because right now he's been given a new mandate by the National Legislative Assembly. And the new mandate again through the constitutional amendment. And therefore the citizens were waiting to see exactly what will the president do in the next 3 years.
That was political analyst Jacob Chol talking about President Kiir's Independence Day speech today. Wake Simon Wudu spoke to some of the thousands of people who listened to President Kiir's speech today. They say they hope the president puts his words into action.
Martin Paite, a Juba resident originally from Western Equatoria State, says he paid close attention to the speech, which emphasized a commitment to restoring peace across South Sudan and economic and political reforms. He says he wants to see action backing up the words.
What our president has said to us, it is all good and it is fine, and we need to see it in practical, as he said, not just remaining like that.
Paite says if those ideas are implemented, it will go a long way toward ending the suffering.
Problem like our people is dying, our children, they are sending them as soldiers, and some of them, even for the property from the market there, everything is very highly. And that's our people is suffering also from the problem of food.
Amar Deng, another Juba resident who hails from Bor, was smiling broadly as she waved a small South Sudan flag while a larger one was dropped around her shoulders. Though she feels happy today, she wishes the president would listen to ordinary people like her.
I need the president to still welcome the IO, the SPLA in opposition, those one who are rebel, to still come like the G10 who has already come and open a new page to start a new beginning to each and every person.
As Mr. Kiir assumes his new 3-year term in office, Deng says she also wants him to focus on better service delivery and not just in the capital.
Make access to each and every Buma, Payam, county development, connect the roads to the people and bring and do away with the security in the country. When this country is peaceful, all the IDPs will come back home, will go to their prospective areas. All the refugees who have traveled out of the country will come back. The development and the business will start afresh.
For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Juba.
This is Philip Thorn Aleu at Dr. John Garang Mausoleum in Juba. Adigo says the problem with the president's speech is that it did not provide any details about how he plans to achieve peace.
It is not enough because it is not the first time for him to call for peace. He has been calling for peace since day one up to now. There is nothing more. But the interesting thing, we are calling upon him that he should make a step forward to call political parties, civil societies, let them come, unite the internal front so that we go and face the warring people who are outside now as one people, not into bigger group of political parties.
Cabinet Affairs Minister Martin Elias Lomoro disagrees. He says the president's speech offered details on economic reforms and combating corruption.
Everything is good for my president, and I'm going to there to implement what he says. These are orders, and a loyal officer cannot disobey. The fighting, of course, is insecurity. But you know, we have been under colonization for more than 50 years. That part of South Sudan, called Upper Nile, is close to the north. And they always use those who are vulnerable. It is a culture of militia that is the cause of our war. What we're going to do now, we're going to challenge IGAD.
The regional bloc IGAD has mediated 18 months
of on and off peace talks in Addis Ababa, which have produced little, if any, results. SPLA Chief of Staff General Paul Malungawan says President Kiir's speech will encourage the army to end the war and restore order throughout the nation.
We are going to bring peace to our people and security to our people. And through all means, the next fifth people of Southern Sudan will be in harmony. And in fact, we in the army, we are not just working to defeat this rebellion. We are working to make the peace possible through all means.
When asked to elaborate, General Malung said, war is not a single event, and therefore a precise end date cannot be determined. South Sudanese lawmakers say the president's speech covers all areas of priorities for South Sudan, including delivery of basic service and combating corruption. The opposition, however, remains unimpressed. For VOA News, I am Philip Thonaleo in Juba.
Rebel leader Riek Machar says he is also celebrating South Sudan's fourth independence anniversary. Machar says South Sudanese should remain hopeful as the IGAD-led peace process drags on.
First of all, let me congratulate all South Sudanese in South Sudan, in the displaced camps, in UNMISS camps, in refuge, in the diaspora for the fourth anniversary of independence of South Sudan. We believe that people of South Sudan deserve political stability. They deserve to elect their leaders. They deserve development and prosperity. This has not happened. Now, you know that President Salva yesterday, he has extended his term, the term which we describe to be illegitimate. He used an unconstitutional parliament to extend his lifespan of his office. And therefore, we have called upon the people of South Sudan to take this matter very seriously. If necessary, uprise. If necessary, join the liberation struggle so that this despot is got rid of and the country becomes peaceful. I am for peace, John.
And you are for peace, but you are also talking tough, calling on the people to rise up. How is that going to work?
You know, the people can bring peace. If they rose against a despot, they will bring peace. That is the shortest way. The international community has missed an opportunity of getting rid of the despot today, when they should have all declared him illegitimate and his regime illegitimate.
And the same international community released a statement, Susan Rice, who said that you and President Kiir are responsible for prolonging this conflict, because their argument is that you have the commanding powers to stop the war or start the war. Why are you not commanding your forces to stop the war and sign peace?
Nobody wants to fight. Forces of Salva Kiir want to fight. My forces do not want to continue this war, not a minute. But for peace to come, there must be an agreement. And we have given our proposal to IGAD, and we are now giving it to the IGAD Plus, and we have given it to individual countries that want to mediate, for example, Kenya. We want peace where there would be a system of governance that is acceptable to the people, and this is federalism. We want peace where there is reform in the security sector, in the public service, in the judicial service, in the economy. We want peace where those who have been hurt are compensated. We want peace where there is respect of constitutionality based on a system which we agree upon, hopefully federalism. We want peace where power is shared equitably, putting into consideration the diversity of our people.
And in this search for peace, are there any points that you have agreed on to move this peace process forward?
We agreed on cessation of hostilities, and this cessation of hostilities was not implemented because the Ugandan forces have not withdrawn. The Sudanese rebel groups have not withdrawn from South Sudan. The Chadian rebels have not withdrawn from South Sudan. All these forces are fighting alongside the regime of Juba, the regime of Salva Kiir.
Dr. Riek, you sound not happy. You sound a bitter person. Do you have anything personal with President Kiir?
Nothing at all. I met him in Kenya at the State House. We sat together, discussed. I would recall three times the light went out, and we would sit conversing in the dark, and we were only two. So there's no personal animosity.
And if there's no personal animosity, why are you not signing peace agreement with him?
Well, I have talked to you about the content of the peace agreement that we would like to see.
That's rebel leader Riek Machar. He was speaking to me from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, earlier today. The international community is sending somber message to South Sudan on its fourth birthday. U.S. National Security Advisor Susan Rice was in Juba 4 years ago when South Sudan was born. She recalls the joy and hope she felt on that day and the sadness she feels just 4 years later.
It breaks my heart to see what South Sudan has become today. Massive and widespread violence has returned. Human rights abuses are rampant. The government and rebels are committing appalling crimes against innocent women, children, and the elderly.
Rice had harsh words for leaders on both sides of South Sudan's conflict.
President Kiir and Riek Machar and their cronies are personally responsible for this new war and self-inflicted disaster. And only leaders on both sides can end this violence. Yet, President Kiir and Riek Machar would rather haggle over personal power and wealth than agree on solutions.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon said in a statement that he felt joy and hope as he watched South Sudan's flag rise for the first time on July 9, 2011. Today, Ban says South Sudan is a country where hope is in short supply. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Paul, says leaders on both sides of South Sudan's conflict are to blame for the crisis the young nation is in. Power told VOA that the United States and the United Nations will
press those leaders to put the interests of those people who want peace, just want stability, just want to be able to send their kids to school, work, come home at night to their families. That's all that people want. And yet they have leaders who are more interested in their own, again, personal fortunes than the welfare of their people. That has to stop.
East African bloc IGAD, which has been trying for a year and a half to end the fighting in South Sudan, said it believes peace is not out of reach for the young nation. But IGAD says restoring peace depends on what Mr. Kiir and Machar do. IGAD is calling on the two men to show leadership and demonstrate to the world that they can restore peace and harmony in South Sudan instead of showing division and devastation. We wanted to hear about what people in the diaspora are thinking about South Sudan on this fourth anniversary of independence. Here are a few of their voices.
Hello, my name is Adut. I don't think South Sudan has achieved anything since Independence Day because they're still fighting about useless things instead of trying to help develop their country to become a better place for the people that live there. They're fighting over who should be leader.
I wish the country all the best, and I'm praying for peace in our country. We should stop tribalism, stop corruption, and accept what comes our way. For 9th of July, I wish them all the best. I wish they should celebrate it in peace. Strongly, I'm willing to go back there to work for my country.
Somewhere, Ton Panchol. There's no achievement coming in since there is war now in Southern Sudan. So hopefully, we need peace. That's what we want at the moment.
My name is Moses Malak. The achievement does we have a country, but we don't have a law in our country.
We are having clashes in our own country. We can't even agree by ourselves. What's the use of independence to us right now? Why are we going to celebrate it? Others are in the bush. Others are where? How will you? Independence is supposed to bring all of us together. It's a time all of us should be together and celebrate one thing that has brought us peace and unity. But there's no peace.
My name is Stephen Wakemaker, and I'm from South Sudan. Well, you see, the war's still going on, and I don't think it's ever going to change. It's just like that war, and it's never going to stop. Even the time I came back here, I thought the war had stopped, and the war was going on.
We need peace. We want to hide all those leaders, which are in the forest, which are in the Juba. We hide them, at least to calm down, and we resolve the issues. Sitting on the same table, our message as a student in Kenya, we need peace, and we are stand for peace. As we are approaching today, we need to celebrate in a happy manner, as the same as we are identity. We are all South Sudanese, and identity always our ultimate pride.
So we need to come together. Our unity starts with me, plus my brother, my sister, because our thousand of mine start with one step. So our unity will start with me and my brother, my sister. So we need to come together. I do something as youth so that we can build our country, develop our country.
All the political electors need to give in their political interests and work for the betterment of common man, because people are dying and there's no need for us to die. It is good for us to just forgive one another and move.
Of course, whenever we have disagreement, we have misunderstanding, we need to forgive each other before we discuss the issue. So we need to forgive each other. To all South Sudanese, wherever they are, we all need forgiveness. We forgive each other. Then for our leaders, we need to come back with that heart of forgiveness and we share power so that we have peace in our country.
The international community in particular should work harder so that peace comes to South Sudan. If people cannot understand that peace is very important, then the international community plus some other powerful states should work hand in hand to bring peace in South Sudan. If South Sudanese leaders don't want to bring peace in South Sudan, then it would be better to be given sanctions on these leaders who don't want peace to come to South Sudan.
We were listening to voices of some of the South Sudanese diaspora from the United States, Kenya, Uganda, and Australia. That's our show for this fourth anniversary of South Sudan's Independence Day. As we celebrate this day, we welcome our listeners in Kajokeji on Hope FM 89.6, who have joined the family of South Sudan in Focus growing affiliate stations in the country. We now leave you with the song Yesu Motomoto by a gospel group from South Sudan. We have been listening to a gospel group with that song, Yesu Motomoto. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening, and I wish you a happy Independence Day. Remember to join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from The Voice of America.